Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm welcoming you to the Lighthouse. You've tuned me in this morning either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tuned me in this morning by the way of Ionia, the WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and also being heard over in the low Ada area at 100.3 FM, and we welcome you to our broadcast this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned in by the way of Ears Radio at Internet Radio at earsradio.com at 10. Some of you are listening because you went to my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse and hold it there a moment, and it opens up to Current Media. Click on Current Media, and it takes you to the broadcast for this morning. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just so glad to have you being a part of my life here at the Lighthouse on this Wednesday morning that I'm putting the service together today. I need to say thank you to those that helped me in so many different ways. So first of all, thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting our music for today for the broadcast. A thank you to those that helps with the financial part of the broadcast, to Bill and Judy Hammond. They're from the Belding area. To Doug and Noreen Lane. They are from the Sheridan area. To Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence, and that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. To Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband Dave, and she is from the Greenville area. And Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. So glad to have all those that helped me with the financial part of the broadcast, and I appreciate each and every one of them so very much. Give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church at our Shiloh campus, as we call it. Saturday evening, it begins at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then a contemporary service at 10:45. In our Greenville campus, that's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church on the corner of Grove and Luray, it's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And to give you an invitation to attend any one of those services you would so desire. Well, this morning here at the Long Lake, I got a couple of visitors. We have two beautiful swan right out front. It's kind of a beautiful picture to just be able to watch them. They're looking for some breakfast, and so they're doing pretty good, I think. The lake is pretty calm. I've got some fishermen scattered different places. I think the fish are beginning to bite, so I'm hoping that they're going to have a nice morning this morning as they do the fishing. And we're going to get started with our broadcast this morning, and my message is Paul as a divine coach to Philemon. There's a little book in the New Testament called Philemon. It's only one chapter, 25 verses, and we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to introduce the idea, we've mentioned it a couple times, about being a divine coach, and I'll talk a little more about that in just a few moments, but we're going to get started by listening to a song that is telling us, this is the day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Even though maybe there's some things that's happening today already, or maybe some things that has happened this week that you haven't been too excited about, yet we need to trust the Lord and His blessing. So here we go. Get ready for this morning. God bless you. Thank you for tuning me in. Well, folks, I got to tell you, that came right out there pretty fast. And I'm glad that this is the day the Lord hath made. And we know that. And we just need to trust him for today. I like it one time when it tells us in the scripture, you know, sufficient for today is whatever you're going to go through. So don't be worrying about tomorrow or last week one day. Just live it today. And, you know, I believe that was God's intent from the beginning of time, is that we would just live one day at a time. I like this statement. It's been a part of my life to help me on my journey. And one of the statements goes like this. You know, so many people live in the past, they miss today. So many other people live so far in the present, in the future rather, that they miss today. And dear people, this is all we got today. I want to pray for my listening audience. I appreciate so many of you telling me you're tuning me in, and I appreciate that very much. And I enjoy doing this. Been doing it this fall for Greenville will be about 43 years. And so I'm just excited about, as I was the first day I did it on the radio. So that's been something very special to me. So I want to remember the listening audience. So let's just bow together for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you once again. What a privilege we have to bear one another's burdens. And Father, my attention this morning and my thought as I come to you is upon the listening audience of all these different places that have tuned me in this morning. Maybe we're in a home, maybe we're in a car, maybe we're in a workplace, wherever we are. I pray, dear Father, that you'll just be pleased to bless the listening audience this morning according to your will. I don't know what they've been going through all this past week, but Father, you tell us we can unload all of our care, all the things that's causing us some anxiety. You tell us we can unload it upon you because you really do care about each one of us. So, Father, that person that's going through some difficulty today because this past week or so they've had to lay a loved one to rest, and today they're feeling very lonely, I ask your hand of blessing as they go through this grieving process, that you would just be pleased to give them the comfort that they need as their day is. I want to pray for those that's going through some difficult time because there's been some kind of a mix-up within the family or some kind of a sad experience that's taken place, and the family seems to be on edge with one another. So I just pray, dear Father, that you would bless them and meet their need according to your will. Thank you, Father, for the older ones of the congregation of my listening audience this morning. I pray your special blessing. You said you would never leave us, you would never abandon us, that we can know that we have one that's going to be our helper. So I pray, dear Father, you would be the helper to those that's up in years and having difficult time facing whatever they're facing today. Whether it's financial, spiritual, or mental, or physical, I just pray you would meet the needs this morning of the listening audience, and I'll thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, kind of a cloudy day. The sun's trying to beat its way through. The clouds is pretty heavy, though, but there's a little light coming. Well, this morning, I want us to think about a divine coach. You might say to me, Pastor, what in the world is a divine coach? You know, you've all had a coach in our lives different times. You know, sometimes when I think of different people, it may be a teacher that really was a blessing to them as they went through grade school or high school. Sometimes I've heard people say, you know, the person that helped me the most was my little league coach, or was my soccer coach, or was my baseball coach, or basketball, or football coach. And, you know, we all sometimes every now and then need a coach, and a coach is just one that tries to get us to take a little easier, to understand a pause maybe, for instance, and take a look at what you're doing. Maybe sometimes it's just to help us to do something a little better than maybe, have you tried this? And so that coach is one that comes alongside of us and is trying to let us become the best that we can possibly become. Well, a divine coach would be one that knows some spiritual truth. some spiritual things that he or she has in his or her life, and they want to pass it on to someone else. They can see where it would be beneficial if they could stand alongside and be an encouragement to somebody, say, have you considered this thought from God's word or this thought? Have you tried this? Have you prayed about it this way? And so it's a divine coach that helps us in our spiritual life as we are in our journey, each and every one of us. And them divine coaches, I'm going to be talking about that for about 3 weeks here. But I tell you, the next Sunday will be the last Sunday of June, if you can believe that. Man, the summer's going by and we haven't had much summer yet. But anyway, it's the last Sunday of June. And then, of course, 4th of July, I want to address the birthday of our nation. And then we'll come back to the idea of the divine coach. So I think I got four of them that I want us to consider. And today we're considering Paul. He's a divine coach to a man by the name of Philemon. Philemon was a Christian man. And I told you that's only one chapter and 25 verses. So it's a very little letter that is being sent. That's what those books all are in the New Testament, letters sent to the church at Ephesians or Colossians or Philippians, wherever the letter was sent. And this is a letter sent to a man by the name of Philemon. And one of his servants ran away. And when he ran away, he bumped into the Apostle Paul somewhere or another along the journey. And Apostle Paul led him to Christ. And now Apostle Paul's going to encourage, as a divine coach to Philemon, that he take this man back and give him a second chance. So we're going to talk about that as we go along this morning. So that's kind of where the message is, and that's kind of what it's about. So let's begin, and we begin with the idea that I got to deal with something first because of the fact of the word saying that he was a runaway slave. He was a slave to Philemon. His name is Onesimus. I might not say that right, but I'll probably always refer to him the runaway slave. Before we think about that, we got to talk a little bit about slavery. We need to address the subject of slavery as it was a part of the history of the biblical times. It was a part of the life that was there. No effort to try to do away with slavery, but rather there was teaching all through God's word, telling a slave how to live and telling a master what his responsibilities was towards a slave. And I love it when God talks to us in Galatians chapter 3, in verses 26 through 28. It says, in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, he says, that's when you became a son of God. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. That's a good message for us to consider this morning. That's a good thing for us to think about, because we have people in pigeonholes, you know, little boxes here of this type of person and this type of person. And he's saying, you know what? None of that really matters when you come to know this one Jesus. When you come to know this one Jesus, it doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter about your status. It doesn't matter about your place in society. What matters is when you placed your faith in Jesus, you became a son and a daughter of God. That's powerful, folks. That's to help us to realize that we don't need to allow the condition we find our life in to control us for the rest of our life. That's so sad because, you know what? So many people do that. If they've had a bad experience in their lifetime, like I came from a family of 9 and we never had much of anything, but you can say to yourself, you know, there's two ways I can look at that. I can complain about my childhood as far as never having anything, or I can look around myself today and see what God has blessed me with since I became a Christian. So God's beautiful. God's done some beautiful things for each and every one of us. I think we need to realize that he's saying, you know, I wish there wasn't slavery. I wish there wasn't slavery back in biblical times. I wish there wasn't the slavery there still is today in many parts of the world. But, you know, sometimes we become slaves to other things. Sometimes we become slaves to things that control our life. And when it controls our life, all of a sudden we're a slave to that. You know, at the same time in the biblical instructions that's given to us, he talked about either the master or the slave. Listen to what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Because no matter where we're at in our life, no matter what our background has been, no matter whether we feel that we've been treated well or we've been treated bad, we need to know that God is saying he's got something for each one of us. So here's what he says. Slaves, obey your earthly master with proper respect. He said, if you're a slave, obey your earthly master with proper respect. Be as sincere as you can are when you obey Christ. He said, now as a Christian, if you're in slavery, he said, I want you to obey your master just like you obey Christ. Don't obey them only while you're being watched as if you were merely wanting to please people. But obey like a slave who belongs to Christ, who have a deep desire to do what God wants them to do. Serve eager as if you were serving your heavenly master and not merely serving human masters. You know that your heavenly master will reward you for all what for reward us for whatever good we do, wherever we are, slaves or free people. He's saying, you know what? Whatever you're doing in your life, if you know Jesus, do it to Jesus. You know, I think back in my life of jobs I had. I worked in the factory, and I was just a young Christian when I started working in the factory at Mitchell Bentley in Ionia. You know, when I went there, I wanted to be the best factory worker that I could because I wanted to do it as though I was doing it to Jesus. And I don't know who taught me that. It just seemed to be that that's what I wanted to do. Then, you know, I started delivering milk, and I thought I want to be the best milkman I could possibly be because I wanted to honor Jesus. When I started doing the idea of delivering mail, I want to be the best mail person that I could possibly be. I want my work as a mailman to bring honor and glory to Jesus. And all the years I pastored, I wanted to do the very best I could possibly do because I wanted it to honor the Lord Jesus. You know, I think that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be a part of that kind of a thinking in our mind and heart. He goes on to say, masters, treat your slaves with respect. You don't just boss them around and so on. Don't threaten a slave. You know that there is one master in heaven who has authority over both of you, and he doesn't play favorites. Oh, I love that. Our master in heaven doesn't play favorites. He's going to treat us the same. He's going to treat us as his children when we've trusted him as Savior. God is sharing this with us for our faith because in the Bible, God is telling us, you know what? This one, Jesus came. You know what he came for? Oh, I know we always say he came to die for our sins, and that is true, and he did do that for each and every one of us. But you know what he's come to do? He's come to set us free from whatever we are in slavery to. So he's reminding us this morning, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm no longer a slave to the way I was raised as a kid from my stepdad. I've been set free because I forgave him and because I have forgiveness. I have forgiveness from the Lord Jesus, and he taught me to forgive my stepdad. And all of a sudden, when I did that, it is exactly true what Jesus said. You will be free indeed. He no longer controls my life. All these times when I think about some of the difficulties I went through, but I don't live there, I've moved forward from that. And that's what he's saying to us, and that's what I want us to get out of this message. There's one other thing I need to address before we actually look into the book of Philemon, or the letter of Philemon, and that is the meaning of restoration. Paul's going to appeal to Philemon to restore this runaway slave back into his family and into his workforce. He's going to try to persuade him to do that. You know, there's always definitions that have great meaning for what restoration means, but the typical thought is to make it more like it back to where it was. You know, people restore furniture. People restore a car. My little BN tractor that I have has been restored to make it look pretty close to what it did when it was purchased. And this is, those are just things that we do. And you know what? God's saying, and if there's hardships in your life and things you've gone through, that is something that you need to know, that restoration is necessary. You've heard of the man Job. Job's a good illustration of what God did in restoration. It tells us about Job that he had lost everything. He was a rich man. He lost all of his riches. In one day, he lost 10 children. He ended up with boils on his body from the top of his head to the tip of his toe. And he was sitting on an ash heap, and he was breaking those boils with a piece of glass. And his wife said to him, "Job, why don't you curse God and die?" But you know what? Job didn't do that. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job is the one to think that the best was yet to come. And when that all was over in Job chapter 42, the Lord restored all of Job's losses. He prayed for his friends that come to try to comfort him, and they were miserable comforters. And then it says that God began to comfort him. And they brought gold to him, people did. And you know what? He told how many sheep he had, and God gave him twice as many sheep as he lost. Talks about the donkeys he had, and God gave him twice as many donkeys. It talks about the oxen that he had, and God gave him twice as many oxen. He had camels, and God gave him twice as many camels and so on. It said he doubled everything. And then God gave him 10 more children. He had 10 in heaven, and he had 10 on planet Earth. You know, one of the things that said in that 42nd chapter about Job's daughters, it says Job's daughters were the most beautiful women that they had ever seen, and that was something very special. You see, God restored Job back to where he was. And he had four generations of people, and he lived to be an old, old man, and it was full of days in his life. We look at that kind of restoration, and we say, I understand that. But what Paul's going to do this morning is he's going to appeal to Philemon to restore this runaway slave. A broken relationship, whatever caused it and whatever was a part of it, Paul's going to appeal to this man, Philemon, and say, we got to restore him back into your fold. And, you know, that's what God teaches us in his word. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you that are spiritual, restore such a one. Restoration is getting to be a lost art in the church today. It's just like we write somebody off when they mess up. God doesn't do that. God doesn't want us to do that. We're all going to mess up sometime or another. And we need to realize that God wants us to be a person. If you've messed up and you've got caught in a sin type of thing, then he says, if you got some spiritual people around you, you know what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to restore you back to that faith. Let me just share with you how he says, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. That's what's lost sometime in the church. We just write people off. That's what's wrong sometimes in your life and my life. You know, I've had many people through the years of being 84 years old. I've had people that's misused me, but I never wrote them off. Because you think, you know what? Whoa, I could go the same direction. It could happen to be a part of my life. Consider yourself, is what he says. Lest you also be tempted. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? Don't point the finger at the other guy. Be gentle towards him and try to restore him back to the fold. Just like the Lord Jesus told the story of the shepherd that had one sheep that had gone lost. He went astray. He's on his own. He's got 99 sheep and they're safe in the fold. And the picture of the Lord Jesus doing this, it tells us that what he did is he left the 99 in the fold. And he went looking for the one that was gone astray. And when he found him, he picked him up and put it on his shoulders and he carried him back to the fold. Didn't even make the sheep walk. He picked him up and he carried him back to the fold. That's restoration, God's way. And that's what God wants us to do, have restoration his way. He says, you know what? If you do that, you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's the way Jesus would have done it. And I don't know about you, but I think that's the way I would want to do it, is the way Jesus did it. Now that takes time, and we're going to learn that. I'm going to move on in the message. We'll get the rest of it and find out what happens. But before we do, we got another song I want us to listen to. And this song is saying, in his time. You know, God has a timing, and in his time, he tells us, you know what? The worst things of life are going to be beautiful. He's telling us that this message of restoration is a part of our life. I'll be right back. There's some music played, and then we'll hear the song. Thank you. God has a way of doing that, making all things beautiful in His time. And God's going to do that, I trust, as we look at the rest of the message. But I want to show you a little bit why an Apostle Paul could make this appeal to Philemon to restore this runaway slave. Apostle Paul shares this, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus. And it's also toward saints, brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have received much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of many of the other brothers and sisters, now listen, have been refreshed through you." This man Philemon was a man that was a refreshment. He was a breath of fresh air to many Christians. And Paul said, "You've been a blessing to me, and I just love hearing about your faith and your love, and I love hearing that you have it towards the Lord Jesus. And I love hearing it that you've got it towards other people who believe in the Lord Jesus." This kind of faith and love was not just an intellectual thing with Philemon. It was from his heart. It meant that faith included both belief and commitment. And belief in God, commitment to God. Belief in people and a commitment to people. That's what it was about. The idea of commitment does not come from the head, but it comes from his faith and love that had moved the short distance from the head to the heart. You know, sometimes we know the truth. We know it in the head, but it's got to move to the heart. And Paul is saying to Philemon, that's what's happened in your life. That's what's happened. That's what's taken place in you as an individual. And it's just not a warm, fuzzy thing. But it's the idea that he loved others so much that he reached out from them. And Paul said, "I want you to know, Philemon, I've even had much joy in my heart as I hear about the way you live in your Christian life and what you're doing in helping other people." You know, there's a Bible verse in the book of Proverbs that says this, "Who refreshes others will be refreshed." I love that. Who refreshes others will be refreshed. You know what? I, in my Christian experience, am to be a refreshment to other people. I'm to be an encouragement in such a way that it refreshes their life. But at the same time, there's times when other people have been a refreshment in our life, my life. It's like, that's a breath of fresh air. Man, that's beautiful. And I've had that happen to me many times, and I trust that my life has been a refreshment to others. That's why I decided to continue on doing funerals, is because I know God uses me at funerals, and if I can help somebody through that difficult time, I've experienced death and all different kinds of sides and so on. And so I think if I can help somebody else, you know, God tells us that. We become a refreshment to somebody else when we've been comforted by God, and we in turn reach out and comfort other people with the same comfort that we've received. And I believe God comes around and comforts us again as we comfort others. And that's what Paul is saying. Philemon, I've heard about you. You're a beautiful Christian. You love God, you know, got faith towards God and love towards God. But you got faith and love towards other people. And you've been a refreshment to them. That's the ground he's going to use for his appeal. He says, you know, you've got it for other brothers and sisters, for people who've asked Jesus into their life. You're a refreshment to them. Now you got a runaway slave, Philemon. And he's run away from you. But when he came to me, he come to know Jesus. And now I want him to go back to you and be the slave that he's supposed to be within you, because he has that responsibility to you. But more than that, I want you to know he's a brother. He's a believer in Jesus. And just as you've been refreshing other believers in Jesus, see what Paul's doing? Therefore, I might say, Paul says to Philemon, I could be bold in Christ and command you to what is fitting, what you should do, because you are a Christian. Yet for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you. I love that. I want to appeal to your heart. I want to appeal to what you do, what's inside of you as a believer. God's been doing that inside of your life. Be such a one as Paul the aged. He said, now I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But he says, you know what? He was in prison at that time. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, the runaway slave, whom I begotten in my chains. For some reason, he ended up in jail too. And he said, I know he was once unprofitable to you. And he made a mess as he ran away. And maybe even took some things. But I want you to know, now he's profitable to me. And I believe he can be profitable to you. You see, this idea of having a refreshing heart. You remember what I said a moment ago? God shows no favoritism. You know, that's what the Bible is teaching each one of us. He's saying to Philemon, you've treated other Christians in a beautiful way that they felt refreshed. And that refreshment causes them to go forward. Now this runaway slave that hurt you when he ran away and maybe took some things from you, he's come to know Jesus. And I'm telling him he's got to go back. He can't just go forward from there. He's got to go back and make things right. That's what restoration is about. Us doing our part to make things right. But also I've said, I'm appealing to you out of love. Out of love. I'm appealing to you that you might restore this. You might gain this person back. He's been very profitable for me, he's saying. And he can be profitable to you. You know, when I was studying this book, one of the things that I came across was thinking about the Lord Jesus. And you know, folks, he did all that he did for us, and the Heavenly Father so loved the world that he gave his Son. Jesus so loved us that he gave his life. And you know something? I think he made an appeal. I think God makes an appeal. The Almighty Holy God made an appeal to the nation Israel that I believe he makes to us as well. And they had ran away from God. They had been disobedient to God. They weren't living the way they should have been living, the nation of Israel. But listen to what he says back there in Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. There's a division between us. There's a division between the holy God and sinful man. But God says, come now and let us reason together. He's making an appeal to you. He's making an appeal to me. Let us reason together. Even though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red like crimson. They shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Just think about that. That Almighty Holy God is coming to you and he's coming to me. And he's saying to us, come now. Even with all of your disobedience, even with all of your sin, come to me and let us reason together. Even though there's distance between us because of your sin, I can make you as white as snow. But you know what? It depends upon your response. Are you going to obey? Then he said, if you do, the blessings are going to flow. If you disobey, he says, it's just going to bring more judgment upon your life. It's going to be difficult. So we need to learn. He's appealing to us. He's appealing to you this morning. Come now, God is saying. Let us reason together. You know why I believe God does that? I believe God does that because he's more concerned about our future than he is our past. And even though we've messed up in the past, even though we've ran away, you know what he tells us in the Bible? All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. That's what that runaway slave did. He just did what he wanted to do. But now God is saying to us as a sinner, come now, let us reason together. I can make a difference in your life. I can take that sin that is so bright and controlling you as an individual, and I can make it as white as snow. To make something from red crimson to white snow is powerful. That's what God's appeal to us is. But let's get back to this appeal that Paul was making to Philemon. He's not only a slave now, Philemon, but he is a brother. So I'm going to appeal to you as one Christian to another Christian. You see, Philemon's Christianity was shown up in two ways. He had active faith, and he had active love. Now, what's going to happen here is, can you just love those that maybe love you a little bit? Can you love those who have wronged you? Can you love those that have deserted you? That's what he's going to be asking Philemon. This man is a Christian, and you've been a refreshment to many other Christian people. And now I want to send this man back because he needs to come back. He needs to make right what he did wrong towards you. Are you willing to take him back? Then Paul does this. I got to tell you, folks, you got to know your own heart. And you got to know that you've been doing it the way that has been really true to do what Paul does next. I want to read him, then we'll make some comments. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If I'm a partner with you in this thing called faith, Philemon, if I'm a partner with you in this thing called love, when this runaway slave of yours comes back, I'm asking you to welcome him as you would welcome me. That's quite an appeal. That touches the heart. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. If he's done wrong, and it's believed that he probably took some things, he was a slave that worked within the home, probably took something of value from their home. He said, if he's wronged you in any way, if he owes you anything, would you charge it to my account? I'll pay it back. I'll pay it back. But I want to remind you, Philemon, it was the ministry that God was using in my life that brought you to Christ as well. So he's really making an appeal saying, you know what? You became a Christian because I ministered in your life. And now there's a man that ran away from you. He's a runaway slave. But I want you to know, he became a Christian. He became a Christian, and now I'm asking you, and I'm appealing to you, if I mean anything to you, take him back. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience. He said, I know this is a hard thing I'm asking, but I'm asking this for this man because he needs to be back there with you. And he's saying, you know what? I want you to refresh me like you refreshed the other Christians. And what's going to refresh me like you refreshed the other Christians is your willingness to take this man back and receive him not only as a slave, but to receive him as a brother. That's powerful, folks. I don't know if you got anybody in your life could appeal to you in that kind of way or not. But this power of appeal is a powerful thing. And we got to realize that that's what God did for us in Isaiah 1:18, appealing to us. And now what he's saying, Philemon, I'm appealing to you to put to practice what you have received from Jesus. And you know something? That's pretty special. You know, the runaway slave probably did steal something. But you know what? There's a little statement that I haven't said anything about for a long time that I really like. You and I are going to fail. If we fail, I say we should fail forward. Fail forward. When a bad experience produces some good. And Paul's not saying it was okay for him to do that. It was okay for him to run away. It was okay for him to take something of yours. But Paul, let's help him. Paul is saying, let's help him. Let's help him to fail forward. Because as he ran away, maybe that's even the reason he ran away. He didn't know it, but maybe that's what God had in mind. That he might come to Christ, that he might come back to you, no longer just as a slave, but as a much better slave than he ever would have been. Because he'll be a believer in Christ, and because you and he will be brothers. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. I love that. Paul's saying, I know what I've heard about you. You're going to do this. One thing more. Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to restore to you an answer to your prayers. Philemon wanted Paul to come and stay with him sometime. And you know something? Paul ends this appeal with a realization that I want you to know. I want you to know. I want to come there someday. And I think he's just saying that to make the appeal even stronger. And when I come, I want to see that runaway slave restored. I want to see that happen. We have the power of influence on somebody else's life. But you got to be careful to use it wisely. And that's what Paul was doing. He was doing it for the benefit of Philemon. Philemon didn't need to live the rest of his life with the fact that this slave had ran away and taken something of his. No, he needed to live his life in restoring this slave. This slave needs to go forward from this and live his life knowing that he's no longer a runaway. He had been running away all the rest of his life. To be the one that is willing to do whatever I can is what I want to do to help the runaway find home. That's what Jesus did, folks. You know what you got to do to make that happen? You got to quit looking at just the thing that the person did. I want to close with a little story. Got a song that's going to talk. Let me introduce you to Jesus, and we'll close with that song. And I want us to think about this. I remember reading this a long time ago. It's supposed to be a true story. A lady had this most beautiful antique table. It was just a beautiful antique table. And there was downsizing in their home, and she didn't want to give up that beautiful antique table. So she moved it with her. She had movers come and they moved the antique table. In the moving of the antique table, they scratched it. And from that time forward, when anybody would say something about the table, how beautiful it was and how wonderful it was and so on, but then she would always say this, but the movers scratched it when they moved it here. You know what? The only thing she could see of that table was the scratch. The table was just as beautiful as it ever was. But the only thing she could see was the scratch. And that's what this message is about, is to get us to look beyond the scratches of your life and the scratches of my life, to get us to look beyond that and come to know this one Jesus. Well, that's taken off. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye.
Let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me introduce you to my best friend. Let me recommend you get acquainted. You will never meet another quite like him. This friendship has been proven through the ages. Closer than a brother's ever been. And once you take the time to get to know him, you'll discover joy that never ends. In a changing world, he is a constant. Is always faithful, always true. A friend who will be there in time of trouble, doing what he said that he would do. He's the kind of friend that won't forsake you. You can prove him time and time again. Though he is the King of all glory, today he wants to be your dearest friend. So let me Jesus, let me introduce you to my best friend. Let me recommend you get acquainted. You will never meet another quite like him. This friendship has been proven through the ages. He's closer than a brother's ever been. Won't you take the time to get to know him? You'll discover joy that never ends. So come just as you are and meet the Master. Doesn't really matter where you've been. He only wants to change the way you're going. Give your heart a song to sing again. He knows just how it feels to be forsaken, rejected by the ones who called him friend. That's why he has given us his promise. His love is a love that never ends. So let me introduce you to Jesus.